There it is. That's the smooth sounds of the new Brooklyn Paper Radio. We're going to try it again this week. Try to keep it a little bit different, a little mellow, a little softer, a little quieter. It's the new Brooklyn Paper Radio. I'm Vince DiMaselli. It's good to be here. Max Jaeger couldn't make it in today. Apparently he has his banjo at the shop where it's being fixed, and I was just hoping maybe we can just keep things as always.
What the hell is going on here, Jimmy? Play the music. Play the music. That's right. It's Brooklyn Paper Radio with your host, Gersh Kuntzman of the New York Daily News, and of course, Vince DiMaselli of the Brooklyn Paper. Vince, what was going on there? I say I'm on hiatus, and you changed the show?
It's just getting a little old now, Gersh. Getting a little old. I'm working here with James.
Jimmy.
I'm working here with James, and I'm trying to, you know, I thought that maybe this week it would work, but I guess without Max it wasn't even worth
it. Well, we got a big show, Vince, and it's so big, in fact, that I broke out of Murder at the Food Co-op rehearsal to come do the show with you.
Oh, really? How's that going? How's the show coming along?
Well, you know, Murder at the Food Co-op, which is playing... opens August 13th at the New York City International Fringe Festival. Thank you for asking, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a great show.
I didn't ask you when it was opening. I'm asking you when. How's it going? How's everything going?
I think it's going great.
Are the rewrites done?
Rewrites are done. The cast is all rehearsing.
All the songs are set.
Yeah, we can play some of those songs if you want a little later.
No,
we could if you want a little
later. Well, maybe not.
All right. Well, I'm excited about a lot of things. First of all, it is great to be next to Vince DiMaselli on a hot night. Vince, how do you do what you do, and you know that you know what you do?
What I do is I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
No matter how hard it gets, no matter what, you know, obstacles are in the way, you just keep going, Gersh.
It's not that hard.
You just keep going.
It's not that hard.
Well, it depends on the obstacle.
Yeah, it's true. It's a big obstacle is really hard.
If there's a big obstacle in the way, you got to fight. You know, every day's a fight.
Well, we got to get out. But Vince, you know, tonight is an historic night.
What is happening this evening?
Well, Hillary Clinton, who's the pride of Brooklyn, at least on Joralemon Street, where her headquarters are here in Brooklyn, or Clinton Street, sorry, mm-hmm. is going to officially accept the nomination of
She's
the Democratic
been nominated.
Party.
The nomination has happened.
But she hasn't accepted it yet. I'm thinking it's going to go 50-50.
And this is happening tonight on Thursday.
Tonight on Thursday, she will accept... hopefully graciously, I don't know, the nomination of my own Democratic Party.
Will she humbly accept?
Oh, she's definitely going to humbly. She will probably, humbly is probably the word you're going to hear a lot of. What'd you think of Bill's speech the other night?
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
I actually didn't hear it. I saw Michelle Obama's speech.
What'd you think of Michelle Obama's speech?
I thought Michelle Obama's speech was fantastic. I think I'd vote for her. I think she should run.
Yeah, I think she should run.
I don't know why she's not running.
I think she should
run. Isn't that the logical transition?
Yeah,
Barack Obama?
If you're Argentina. Yeah, if you're Argentina,
is that
that's
how they do
the
it
transition.
In Argentina?
Yeah, yeah, that's how we do it. Anyway, we got to get out. I was talking to Jimmy earlier while you were calling.
I mean, but let's be serious. She's a better candidate.
What, Michelle Obama?
Yeah, without question. Do you think Hillary will make Michelle Obama Secretary of State?
I'd like that.
That'd be interesting.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking to Jimmy earlier while you were calling him James.
James.
It's funny that now the campaign starts, and a lot of Brooklynites were obviously Bernie supporters. A lot of Brooklynites are very politically active. Jimmy, how did we end up in a country like ours, which many candidates are fond of saying is the greatest country in the world? I don't say
Everyone says that.
They say God bless America, etc. How did we end up in this great country with two people who have such high negatives? Now, I'm not making a value judgment there, Vince.
I'm saying, what do you mean high negatives?
High in the polls.
Oh, polls, okay.
People's responses when asked, do you have a positive or a negative impression of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? The mm-hmm. negatives are really high. They're higher than the positives. So the question becomes, how do you even have that in an election? And you know who I asked that question to?
Who did you ask that question
to? I asked that question to Ralph Nader.
You spoke to Ralph Nader today.
Spoke to him yesterday. My story went up today. I asked Ralph Nader, how did it happen?
The Daily News website?
NYDailyNews.com.
And that went up today on Thursday.
Thursday it went up.
Okay.
I asked Ralph Nader, how does it happen? You know what his answer was?
A miracle.
Here's my thing. The reason I call up Nader.
Mm-hmm. There must be a
reason. Because people are angry in America right now about this choice. When people are angry, what do? They look for someone to blame. When you look for someone to blame, right. Who do you call?
Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader, who had a list of five people to blame. You want me to go through them?
I'd love to hear. Let's go. Number one on the list of five people to blame for us being in this horrible situation that we were in.
Blame number one.
Go.
The voters themselves.
Well, you have to blame the voters.
Well, because why do voters say, well, I don't want to vote for a third-party candidate because that's, quote, throwing my vote away.
Uh-huh.
It's not throwing your vote away. If you like a candidate, vote for that candidate.
Well, I think if enough people vote for that third-party candidate, say maybe a majority, that candidate is likely to win. Not guaranteed, though.
You got to win 50% plus one voter, and you're likely to win.
Okay.
Okay. Blame number two.
Okay, the voters.
This one's going to hurt you, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
The media.
Now you got to blame the media.
Yeah, Ralph Nader said blame the media. Why? Because third-party candidates such as Gary Johnson of the—
Now, was he talking about the media or the mainstream media? Because I want to— – there's a difference there.
He was actually talking about the televised media.
It's a subtle difference.
It is.
So the televised media is, in fact, the mainstream media.
Yeah, for example— –
And then guys like us—
– Now, look, guys like us. I did a column on Green Party candidate Jill Stein— – Mm-hmm. We've done articles about Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, but that's not enough. The main
Gary Johnson, is he in Murder at the Food Co-op?
He is not. Oh. So that's Dick Johnson.
That's
all right. So that's number two. The mainstream media not covering the third party candidates. The blame number three.
Okay, number three. I have voters. Yeah. I have the mainstream media. Although we might be adding words there. What's next?
Number three, the Commission on Presidential Debates.
I have no idea what that is.
So they organized the three debates among the top candidates. Now, you need to get 15% of the vote in a national poll in order to be qualify to be in the debate. And because there's so little media coverage, that insulates this group from including some of those third-party candidates.
These are the guys that they're always complaining about. Say, I want to be— – like, you'll have some candidates saying, they won't let me on. They won't let me debate. I won't be— – I want to be on Fox News, and they won't let me on.
That's a very accurate— – imitation of one of those candidates.
It's usually that. That's usually how they sound.
However, if you were to allow a guy like Gary Johnson, who is the Libertarian candidate, mm-hmm. on one of these debates, you might see his poll numbers go from 9 where they are now. You might see it rise. And it can't go up without him being exposed.
The exposure will probably help.
Exactly.
Or hurt.
If you don't have the goods, if your negatives become higher than your positives, as the two leading candidates are, mm-hmm. I don't know who you're going to elect. Okay.
Okay.
Number four.
All right, so we have the voters, we have the mainstream media, we have the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Yes.
Okay, who's number four?
Number four, I cannot remember, but number five was—
Wait a second.
You got to read the article. It's on nydailynews.com right
now. It's online today, Thursday.
Okay, number five, I remember distinctly, was anybody but Nader.
But
Nader.
Nader.
It's
so
not Nader's
fault.
Oh, no, I know what number four.
Well, let's make number four anybody but
Nader. Okay, fine. And okay.
Anybody but Nader means that Ralph Nader is not responsible for any of this.
Yeah, because Ralph Nader, everyone said, oh, you ran and you gave the election to Bush because you ran. It's like he's saying, no. Bush gave the election to Gore. But you know what I mean? Bush took votes away from Nader.
All I ever wanted was a Ford Pinto. Gersh, that's all I ever
wanted. I know
wanted.
You did. And number five.
Ralph Nader ruined that for me.
And this would really warm the cockles of my heart because I do this at the office a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He blamed language itself.
Language?
Language itself.
Language.
Because these third-party candidates are often called minor party candidates. Itself. They're often called spoilers. They're in the race to spoil it. No. They're running. You and I, Vince, could run for president.
Mm-hmm.
We have an equal right to run for president as Hillary Clinton.
I'm an American citizen over the age of 35.
And a natural-born citizen.
Natural-born.
And has lived in the country for 14 years. And that's it.
Yeah.
So Nader says language itself. So don't call them spoilers. Call them third-party candidates. And if you like him, vote for him.
Well, that's something
If you like her, vote for her.
That's something I can believe in. I believe that language is extremely important. And how we use our language, both on the radio and in print, I think it has an effect on people, without question. So I mean, I'm with Nader on that one.
All right. Now, we got to get out.
Where are we going?
This is important. There's only one story in Brooklyn right now.
Okay. Wait, we're going
only,
to go
There's
now?
Only one story in Brooklyn right now.
Really? What is that? Is it about our spots?
No, I'm bringing in the big story.
Okay.
Here it is. You ready? Jimmy, hit it.
I don't know. What's Jimmy hitting?
I'm sorry. What am I hitting?
The morning papers.
Oh. I read the morning papers.
I'll tell you why I wanted Jimmy to hit that sound.
This is the biggest part of our show. Everyone loves this part of the show.
Guys, this is the most important story in Brooklyn right now.
What is it?
The L train, our friends at the MTA.
The L-pocalypse.
And I say friends. I don't know why I say that. Have decided that the best way to fix the L train from the alleged Hurricane Sandy damage.
Alleged Hurricane Sandy.
Well, that's
Sandy
just
damage.
Me. I think it's alleged.
The L train. I don't know. I don't know how
we don't know how the water got into the L train. If the first stop is Bedford and the first stop in Manhattan is First Avenue, way above sea level. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I'm sure there are air vents and stuff.
They're gonna shut down the L train for 18 months, both directions. 18 months, a total tube shutdown, starting in January 2019. Now you may sit there, Vince, and say, 2019. That's like in 17 years. No, it's not. It's really 2.5 years away.
It comes quickly. I've learned as I've gotten older, I've learned that life is short, Gersh, and we're all going to die.
It's funny you mention life is short.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reach out to a random Williamsburg resident. Now,
really?
I know from the old days, I know all the exchanges in Williamsburg.
You're going to dial the Evergreen Exchange.
I'm going to call Evergreen 3, yes, 6587. Jimmy.
EV3, yeah.
Yeah, EV3. I'm going to go Evergreen 3.
It's so smooth.
Let me get him on the phone.
It just gets me nervous whenever you use the phone, Gersh.
I don't know if I'm going to get the guy I
want
to dial.
Did you dial 9?
I did. Is that ringing, Jimmy?
No, you don't know what she's doing.
All right, we'll try it again. Okay.
Evergreen 3. That is definitely Williamsburg. That's the Williamsburg area, Evergreen.
There's even a company that uses that.
Uses that exchange.
All right, so we're reaching out to a random Brooklynite who
just
lives in Williamsburg.
Random.
Well, I'm calling Evergreen 3.
Well, this should be Williamsburg then. I wonder who's there.
Hello?
Oh, hello there, sir. Sir, are you a resident of the Williamsburg-Bushwick area?
Hi, Gersh. What's going on?
Oh, listen. Oh, he knows. Do you listen to Brooklyn Paper Radio, sir?
I live off the L train.
Well, sir, perhaps we could talk to you a little bit about the L train shutdown, and what do you think it means for you and your neighbors? Are you aware that the L train is going to be shut down for 18 months in 2 years?
Oh, yeah. Everyone is well aware of that. Not happy.
Hello, L train user in Williamsburg. This is Vince DiMaselli of Brooklyn Paper Radio. I was wondering if you're planning on moving because of this upcoming L-pocalypse and your inability to get to Manhattan, or do you just plan on getting maybe some bathing trunks and swimming lessons?
The only reason why I would move is if I were to find someone I loved and she said, let's move to a nicer place.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Which I would understand that, and one can hope.
I mean, look, hope springs eternal. Hope springs eternal, mister.
Why did you just say that's not happening?
Look, I just can sense from your voice there's a certain neuroses there that it turns off members of the opposite sex. I do assume you're heterosexual.
Neuroses?
Anyway, we're here to talk about the train, sir. We're not talking about your love life, as interesting as that might be.
That's why people move. Right? Like, I don't think people are going to necessarily move because of a train. They'll just make other arrangements.
Yeah, but what are those arrangements, sir? You're looking at 18 months of some of the most severe disruptions in transit history.
Yep. The L will still run to Lorimer, and then people can transfer there, or they can take it out towards Myrtle Avenue and take the M train, which is one stop to Midtown. That's what I'm going to do.
Huh.
I also did buy a car, so...
What?
That's why I also turned to for getting around.
Wait, did you buy the car specifically because of the tunnel closure?
It's partially.
So that factored in. Wow, I didn't think of this, Gersh. This could be a boon for car dealers across Brooklyn.
It also could be a bust for traffic all across Williamsburg. If more people are driving in a neighborhood that is not really well equipped for cars, that could be a real problem for pedestrians and other people.
And not to mention parking, which I'm also somewhat concerned about if they're going to be more.
Wait, so now do you have this new car?
It's in the shop currently because it's a 1979 Fiat, and they tend to have problems.
Yeah, 79 Fiat. That was a good year for Fiat.
You know what Fiat stands for?
It was a good year.
What does fiat stand for, Vince?
You don't know what fiat stands for?
I believe I do, but I'd like to hear you say it.
Well, as an Italian, I can tell you it stands for fix it again, Tony.
Fix it again, Tony. So, sir, what do you think about that when you hear that?
Well, I brought it to my mechanic, who's you guys have probably interviewed before, David Goldsmith, right? He's
Oh, yeah, we have him on all the time.
You have him on.
Yeah, no, anytime we have questions about the law or the
cars
or lawlessness.
Carburetors.
Yeah.
And so I you know, he saw the car and he looked at me and he's like, you must be attracted to very pretty but highly temperamental things.
Again, we're talking about your love life again.
How does this? We keep coming back to that.
He was specifically talking about the car, but I didn't have a good answer.
The car. She's a beautiful mistress.
So wait, let me get this straight. Did you actually buy a Fiat, or you're pulling our legs?
No, I have a Fiat. It's in the shop.
And it is a 79.
So you bought a 37-year-old car. You bought a car that's older than our engineer.
Probably older than Aaron Short.
Who's Aaron Short?
I don't know.
Anyway, how did we get on the subject of cars? We're talking
about
the train.
I think it's interesting that this random person from Williamsburg has now bought a car to deal with this problem. Do you plan on driving that car to Manhattan?
On the weekends.
Just on the weekends.
I think that's when I would.
Now, sir, do you work in Manhattan or do you work in the County of Kings?
Work in Manhattan.
You do work in Manhattan.
The M train goes right to my stop, so that's what I'll take to get home.
So okay.
It's going to add like 10, maybe even 15 minutes to a commute, depending on how late it is.
I mean, 15 minutes is not nothing. I mean, 15 minutes is, as Geico says, it could save you $500 or whatever, but it's a lot of time.
The M train, I didn't even know that went to Brooklyn anymore. I just thought it was in Queens now. Where does the M train go to from?
It loops around all the way up from Middle Village, down through Bushwick and Williamsburg.
Middle Village being Queens, a neighboring borough.
Yes. And then up to Midtown and then back out to Queens to Rego Park.
All right. This is all very interesting for our Brooklyn listeners. Hey, sir, do you got a minute? We got to pay a bill or two. Can you hold the line? No, this is the first in Brooklyn Paper Radio. Doing the commercial while we have a caller
on the
line.
While we have a caller on the line.
Hold on 1 second, sir. Jimmy, can we get some of that music? I'll tell all my listeners and my listener on the hold, Atlas Steakhouse offers you a unique dining experience. Oh, first you choose your steak.
Mm-hmm.
Every cut is aged to tender perfection on site. You compare it with a vintage or start with a cocktail. I've had their Atlas signature cocktail. I had the Godfather.
I remember that. You really enjoyed that.
I had succulent appetizers, including the crab cakes. And when my main course arrived, I understood why Atlas Steakhouse, they always offer you a cut above the rest. That's Atlas Steakhouse, 943 Coney Island Avenue, or visit them on the web at atlassteak.com.
Wow. I love Atlas Steakhouse. Steak. You know, and after you go to Atlas Steakhouse, one of the things that can happen is you get some food in your teeth. So what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go to Dr. Joseph Lichter. Because if you're looking for a dentist who provides quality care at an affordable price, then you should look no further than Dr. Joseph Lichter. Because the dentist and skilled hygienists at Dr. Lichter's state-of-the-art office use the most up-to-date technology and techniques to provide you the best experience possible. As you know, Dr. Lichter and his staff perform traditional dental procedures such as teeth cleanings, fillings, root canal therapy, and tooth extractions. But in addition, they offer the latest in restorative and cosmetic dentistry, including implants, porcelain veneers and crowns, fixed bridges, and more. These are the procedures that, for our listener, our person on the radio, our person on the telephone, for Gersh Kuntzman, these are the procedures that can make a broken smile look like new. Of course, they have Invisalign. It's an alternative to metal braces that uses virtually invisible plastic aligners that shift teeth into place over a
period
of time.
Where can I call, Vince? Where can I call?
You know, you can call Dr. Lichter's office today at 718-339-7878 to set up an appointment that can improve your quality of life. Remember, that's 718-339-7878. Dr. Lichter, as you know, is located at 1420 Avenue P.
That's for periodontal.
That's between East 14th and East 15th Streets in Midwood. And you can visit him online at josephlichterdds.com.
All right. So now we thank you, Jimmy. And thank you, Vince. Now, let's go back to our caller. Caller, are you still there?
Yeah.
The real reason we reached out to you, caller, is because you live on the L train. And as we said, you're looking at an L apocalypse, no L train for 18 months. What's the mood in the neighborhood? You're out there every day. It's got to be a topic of conversation every day.
Well, I think people are anxious, but no one's thinking about it immediately because 2019 is a long time away.
Is it, though?
People are, like, we have shuttle buses coming in August. I think people are more worried about that or worried about crowds on the L train, delays. It's running fine now, so you're not hearing those complaints, but I think as...
Is it, though? Is it really running fine now?
Mostly. I mean, the thing is people are, you know, getting older and trying to figure out if they want to stay in Williamsburg or move to South Brooklyn or Southern Brooklyn or Queens,
mm-hmm.
like for their next, you know, or if they want to buy something, that's when you're going to see, like, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. You don't want to go to Queens. There's no trains there at all. So my question is, do you know of anyone, as someone that lives in Williamsburg, do you know of anyone that's, like, excited about this? Like, wait a second. I'm going to be able to get to Canarsie in no time.
Said no one ever.
I didn't ask you, Gersh.
But people are moving to Ridgewood, Queens, which is just off the border.
That's on the J, right?
On the M, and that's exclusively the M and, like, the edge of the L.
But the M train is very limiting to someone going to Manhattan, isn't it not? I mean, it makes like two stops in Manhattan.
MTA said they're going to probably bulk it up.
The
real problem is for folks on like Montrose and Graham and in the middle of Williamsburg. I mean, I'm much closer to, you know, Bushwick and Myrtle, that area, but folks that are in the middle, like, they're going to get squeezed.
Right.
And you might see a lot of movement around there.
I just got to get back to my point, though. When they closed the R train tunnel, people in Brooklyn were actually very happy with that service. There was a lot of people in Bay Ridge that were using it to get to downtown Brooklyn, and it was running fantastically. And then what happened was they opened up the tunnel again, and the R train went back to being the same old R train, same old jets.
Again, the reason we broke for commercial caller was because you and Vince were going off on this long conversation about other trains. Let's talk about the L train for a second. That's the train that's on everyone's mind, everybody's lips. Now, here's my feeling about the L train.
It'll probably get less crowded for people that use it.
No, that's my point.
The other thing that's interesting is you have office space that's growing in Williamsburg. You're going to see more of that. You're going to see more people moving their offices to the end of the L train, Bedford area, so people won't have to go to Manhattan, and they'll just end up working, like, in Williamsburg.
So that's part of the boom that we might experience in Williamsburg. My point was this.
I think you might see a commercial boom. Yeah.
Here's the problem with the L train, caller. I don't think, maybe you can stop me if I'm wrong, but to me, the L train is even more crowded than Charlie Sheen's bed in the late 80s. True or false?
It's over 100% capacity a lot of the time.
Okay, well, so was Charlie Sheen's bed. That was actually usually over 200% capacity. My point, caller, is that the L train is a disaster. Why, though? I'm asking you to tell me why.
Oh, well, they probably don't run enough trains, and they don't run them often enough in the morning.
That's exactly right.
One of them, and there's only, you can't route it on another side. Like, it's a two-lane track, right? You can't, like, there's no express line there.
All right, so I guess
there's been, like, massive amounts of population.
That's why I brought up Charlie Sheen's bed, my friend. That's why I brought up Charlie Sheen's bed. The L train.
On Bedford and Lorimer and Graham. And
no, you're not understanding. You're not understanding. Caller. Now I'm going to turn hostile. Caller. All right. You're not understanding. When Charlie Sheen wanted to have a four-way or a five-way, what did he do? He got a bigger bed.
The bed can only get so big, though, Gersh. You got your king size, and you got your California king. What are you going to do? Put two California kings together?
No, Charlie Sheen got a mansion. He actually got a bigger room.
Uh-huh.
And had two king size beds fused together like atoms in a cold fusion reactor. Mm-hmm. My point is, caller, why doesn't the MTA do the logical thing, which is dig another freaking tunnel? Let's have more subway service, not limited subway service. Let's have more Charlie Sheen three ways.
Well, I don't think they have the money.
Oh, well, there it is. The same old excuse. We've got candidates down in Philadelphia right now, tonight, accepting the Democratic nomination. Is Hillary Clinton committed to digging another subway tunnel in New York?
Well, she'd do it herself if she could, but...
Judging from Bill Clinton's speech the other night, yeah, indeed she would. We got to get out. Call her. Here's one thing we always do on Brooklyn Paper Radio. We let the people we call plug anything they want. You got something you're working on. You got something you got a girlfriend who's in a play like Murder at the Food Co-op. You got a brother who's just getting out of the pen. What do you want to plug away?
Oh, I don't have anything.
Well, you want to say, like, you know, hi, Mom. What do you want to do?
You want to plug your mechanic?
I mean, Gersh can talk about his play if he wants, but...
Well, I mean, have you bought tickets to my play?
That seems like a bigger deal. It's starting in a week.
No, August 13th.
Cole, you plan on seeing Murder at the Food Co-op? Is this correct?
I think in the second week I'll try to see it.
The second
down the first week.
Okay, oh, you yeah, know there's vacation. Only 2 weeks. Just FYI.
Yeah.
Just don't see it in the third week.
All right, we got to get out. Caller, it was great to have you on the air at the Evergreen 3 Exchange, the Williamsburg Exchange from the old days. Thank you very much for taking the time, and I wish you a lot of luck getting out of Charlie Sheen's bed tomorrow morning.
I'll try.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Please. Thank you. All right, we got to get out. Give me a little morning paper music.
Yeah.
Jimmy fell asleep again. What?
I love that. I say, give me some music, and he just goes, bop. Anyway, the reason I'm playing the morning papers music again is this.
Jimmy snoring.
There's one other good story in Brooklyn. I'm going to bring in Ruth Brown.
All right, Ruth's going to need a microphone, Jimmy. Can you set her up?
Let's get Ruth in here.
Yeller.
Ruth Brown, it's Gersh Kuntzman and Vince DiMaselli of the Brooklyn Paper. Can you come into the studio, please?
See, once that comes on,
I just hang on. Oh, there she is, Ruth Brown. Ruth, what is your official title at the Community Newspaper Group?
Deputy editor.
Well, you're fantastic in every way. Vince, I'll tell you why I called Ruth in here.
Let me hear.
I don't want to talk about a story.
No?
I just want to say happy birthday, Ruth!
Thanks.
Happy birthday, Ruth. That's right. I'm right?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome, okay.
We are definitely going out for drinks tonight.
Anyway, listen, Ruth Brown.
It is Thursday. It is Ruth's birthday.
I really did bring you in for a reason. Mm-hmm. There was a crazy story. Now, Vince, you know me.
Uh-huh.
I do not bring in a top editor on her birthday to talk about a community board 6 story unless it's a blockbuster. And this one, Ruth, stop me if I'm wrong. But the story that you guys ran in the paper, or it's online, I guess, today, and it was in the paper, I guess it's going to be in the paper tomorrow, about what happened to Community Board 6 and the Carroll Street Bridge, which, as you know, is water over...
It's not the Carroll Street
Bridge. I think you might mean the Union Street
Bridge. Union Street Bridge. It is literally a troubled bridge over water.
Mm-hmm. No, it is a...
it's a troubled bridge over water. The Gowanus Canal, in this case. Ruth... The mic is yours.
No,
just explain to me what happened.
I see what happened there. It's water. There's water under a troubled bridge.
It's a troubled bridge over water. So tell us what happened because no one will believe it.
Okay. Well, look, I was not there, but this is the story as relayed to me by a journalist, Lauren Gill.
Gilly.
So she went to the Community Board 6's, I believe it would have been the Transportation Committee meeting, probably a few months back, and... At the meeting, the DOT reps were there. They said, the bridge is crummy. It's falling down. We need to fix it.
Just for the record, we're talking about the Union Street Bridge. We're talking about over the Gowanus Canal, and we're talking about Community Board meeting with representatives from the Department of Transportation.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Correct.
Wow.
You used a lot of letters, but okay.
So the DOT reps showed up, and they presented the community with 2 options, one of which was to put in another drawbridge. The current one is a drawbridge. You can open it if a boat should ever want to go through the Gowanus Canal. Does not happen a lot.
Yeah, this is at the very end of the canal, and if a boat were to go through it, it can only go like another block, correct?
That's also correct.
Yes.
They are going to start dredging the canal at some point, so there will be boats going through. The other option is to put in a fixed bridge, which does not open, which I'm told is more aesthetically pleasing and is kind of a bit like simpler and easier. The only problem is obviously boats can't go through and it will have to sort of jut into some private land along the waterfront, so that'll be a different issue. Anyway, so they were just there to present it. That is according to all the CB6 members, how it was presented to them. During the meeting, the representative there said, you know what, I'm kind of interested in what you guys are thinking at this stage. And they said, well, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to think about it. She said, no, just raise your hand. Just give me an idea, you know, of what you're thinking. So they did a straw poll. I think it came out 6-3 in favour of the fixed bridge. And they said, great, we'll come back and we'll have a real vote in a few weeks, but we really value your opinion on this because we don't want to design two bridges. So, you know, we'll schedule a meeting in the future. And that basically just never happened. And then, you know,
the meeting was never scheduled.
The meeting was never scheduled, which is probably on both sides, I think. But either way, it didn't happen. And then I guess maybe a month later, somebody at the community board got wind of the fact that the DOT had, you know, submitted plans for a fixed bridge, and their justification for the fixed bridge was, well, this is what the community board told us they wanted.
All right, so there was a straw poll of some sort.
There was a straw poll of some sort.
But it was uninformed. It was lacking in full information.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? I mean, I'm not going to hold you to it. What do you think? What do you think? You want the regular bridge or you want the drawbridge? What do you think? Who wants a regular bridge? Anybody? Anybody?
I got my hand up.
Anybody?
I got my hand up.
You like a regular bridge?
Sure, I love a regular bridge.
Any other people? Other people here?
I see some other hands.
Oh, you too. You like a regular bridge?
We'll get back to you.
We got six? Looks like we got six.
And they only got three on the other side.
Well, let's see.
That's pretty conclusive.
How about a drawbridge? Who likes a drawbridge? Anybody?
I don't see a lot of hands.
Anybody? Well, there's
Jimmy,
a guy.
Jimmy likes a drawbridge.
Oh, he does. Okay. How many? Maybe we got two more of those?
Yeah.
Oh, there's one.
We got three people.
All right, there you go.
So that's basically how it went, Ruth.
As I understand it, as I say, this is third hand, but, you know, I talked about this a lot with Lauren. I remember her original report in which she emphasized, because she was quite surprised being at this meeting, that the Department of Transportation rep had been so insistent that they have a vote when people were so reluctant, and people were quite clear that they really wanted more time to talk to the community, to talk to the landowners, to have a bit more of a think about, you know, what kind of bridge they thought would best serve the Gowanus community. For another 75 years, this bridge is going in, so it's, you know, it's an important decision.
Well, but so what, did they actually show designs for this fixed bridge? It sounds like it's going to be beautiful.
They did show designs, and they did not have enough handouts and did not give us one. And as they always do, promised they would give us one, and they never did.
What is wrong? Is this how the city does business, Gersh? You've been in the business of seeing how the city does business for a long time. Is this how the city does business?
Typically, no, Vince. You'd think that this was exactly how they do business. Look, I've covered community boards since Ruth, you probably were four.
Probably.
And almost always when they say, oh, we got to design it, they show the board. They don't expect them to vote right then and there. And they certainly don't tell them that vote is going to be binding.
No, and that was the other unusual thing about this vote that I remember and that I think we reported at the time, was that they said, you know, usually the community board's opinion, it's advisory and they're just going to go and do what they want to do. But at this meeting they said, no, we really are going to base our decision on your vote. We really care about your vote.
Wow.
It's important. You know, so they had an expectation that their opinion was going to matter, and I think
that's surprising enough.
So,
I mean, they should have seen that as a red herring.
Right. So there was that element, and then I think the fact that, you know, that then they were using the straw poll as a justification, like they were saying they were doing this in the people's name, when they felt they were being misrepresented.
Well, but what does the fixed bridge look like? Because I'm literally imagining that new bridge over the Newtown Creek, with the new Kosciuszko Bridge, $1 billion bridge. Like, I'm imagining a cable-stayed bridge with two pedestrian bike paths. And all, no?
I don't see it being anything like that, Gersh. This is a very small area. It only has to go, how big is the bridge? 30 feet?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty small. I mean, obviously it will sort of run a bit longer. I mean, as a sec.
That's what she said.
So they're going to actually make it, it's going to go higher, though, I would assume, right?
Again, I haven't seen the designs because we didn't get one.
Yeah, well,
all
design,
I know,
Gersh,
is that people were very...
They didn't give us a design.
Ruth, this is madness. First of all, because you know me, Ruth, people who know me as a bridge builder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not a bridge, not builder.
You're building bridges. You've been building bridges for years.
Listen, I was the first...
You're not tearing bridges down, I'll tell you that.
I was the first atheist editor of the Brooklyn Paper who brought together the Jewish community and the Christian community.
For beer, right? No, we all had beers?
It was our first ever Jewish-Christian-Atheist smackdown. So I'm a bridge builder.
Mm-hmm.
Building those bridges.
When I want to build a bridge, I want the best design I can get. I want it to be impressive. I want it to stand the test of time. I want it to be a monument, if you will, to the de Blasio administration. And that sounds like what I'm going to get.
How does it sound that way? I'm not hearing that at all.
I don't. She says I'm getting a fixed bridge.
Oh, look, all I know is that the board seemed to be quite sure that this was a much more aesthetically pleasing bridge. The fixed bridge is is more attractive than the drawbridge. I guess the drawbridge needs more mechanical equipment. It needs some...
Yeah, a drawbridge is always ugly. You ever been to Miami, Ruth? You ever been to Miami?
I have not.
The whole freaking city is built with drawbridges. Mm-hmm. And first of all, you got to wait. Like, every hour the drawbridges go up. So it's a pain in the ass. But second of all, none of the bridges has... Notice my singular.
Why don't you just take the train?
None of the bridges has any architectural detail at all, save the drawbridge itself. Mm-hmm. So I say, give me a fixed bridge anytime. Give me a Tappan Zee. Give me a Whitestone. Give me a Throg's Neck.
How about a Verrazano?
Give me a Verrazano with two Zs. Mm-hmm. Give me a Queensborough. Give me a Brooklyn.
Sure. But I mean, I guess then the city should have just gone in and said, look, guys, this is the bridge we're building.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Why
and
did
then,
they even? Well, they didn't have to say screw you. Why did they even just? Why did they say they wanted their opinion?
Because they did have to present it. Like they do have to show them. But I don't, you know, and I guess they get an advisory vote. But if they never said your vote counts, you know.
But Ruth, we got to get out. We know the community boards. Their role is if this advisory, mm-hmm. if that.
Mm-hmm.
So I
and
feel
yet
like,
cherished.
What they're tourists? What?
Cherished.
They're cherished, Kirsch. Cherished. Cherish the love you have.
All right, we got to get out.
For the community boards we have, cherish.
Is that the national anthem of Brooklyn?
That's not
what
like
that is. Anyway, Ruth, we got to get out. In the end, where does it stand? Is the community board 6 going to sue?
I will always
I don't think it's going to sue. I think they're going to get a lot of very angry letters from district manager Craig Hammerman, who has a lot of time on his hands because it's summer. The community boards are not sitting. His letterhead.
It is hammer time.
Hammerman
is firing off the letters at a very rapid pace that none of the other district managers are keeping up with. I've been very impressed. So I feel like they are getting a lot more strongly worded
that guy's
letters
like Alex,
coming their
he's
way.
Like Alexander Hamilton writing like he's running out of time that day.
Yeah.
I just find it so amazing that the second she said Craig Hammerman, we couldn't stop ourselves from saying Hammer Time. We couldn't stop it. Jimmy was saying it under his breath.
And if you know Craig Hammerman, it is never Hammer Time. The guy's a sweet guy, but you know, and he's a government bureaucrat. And don't take this the wrong way, Craig. But I mean, you're a little boring. You're a little boring in the sense of you're like Tim Kaine, the vice presidential nominee. You get the job done. You're totally above board. You're incorruptible.
He's been doing it for years.
But it's never Hammer Time. It's never Hammer Time. All right, we got to get out. Ruth, thank you for that insightful report.
It's been a pleasure.
Now, Vince.
Best birthday ever. Thank you.
Ruth, stay for a second because I want to tell Vince something. Because I noticed you were reading the police blotter earlier. You were looking at it for typos, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have a report in there in the 7/8th precinct of my daughter's bike getting gershed?
Your daughter's bike? Did you actually report it to the police?
Did.
Really? Did we get that report? That's a 7/6?
7/8.
7/8.
No, because we mostly get closed cases from the 7/8.
Oh, yes, the 7/8 precinct only gives us closed cases.
Well, I'll tell you something, Ruth Brown.
Is this case closed?
No, it is not closed. I've been scouring the interweb on Craigslist and other websites to see who's trying to fence my daughter's bike. Stolen from in front of her house, which is actually my ex-wife's house, where I was kicked out of. But don't steal the bike. Don't steal the bike. If you're out there, you can hear the sound of my voice, you scumbag. That's right. I called you a scumbag because I know what you're up to. You stole my daughter's bike. You gershed it.
Where did she leave it? What had happened?
It was locked to the front fence. Now, I don't live in the house anymore. Or else I would have said, hey, baby, why don't we bring the bike inside for the night? But I don't live there anymore, Ruth. And this is what happens when families...
So it was stolen from the front of the house? Don't you have cameras?
I don't live there anymore, Vince. This is the price you pay when you break up a family. There it is. I said it.
So this is your fault?
No, it's my ex-wife's fault.
No, you said if you were there, you would have said, baby, maybe we should bring the bike inside.
Maybe we should bring the bike
inside.
So
it is your fault.
Well, no, I think it's
because you weren't there.
It's the fault of the person.
Had you been there, you could have saved. You could have stopped this from happening.
Do you guys remember the opening of The Odd Couple?
This is your fault.
He says that request came from his wife. Deep down, he knew she was right, but he also knew that one day, and that's where the similarities end, my friend. Because I'm not going back. But I got to get her another bike.
That happened. That was on November 13th. I believe.
Yeah, November 13th. Yeah.
And how are you dealing with the 7/8 precinct? Did you feel like they took your report seriously?
I mean,
they took the report. Did you feel like they were going to then go and look for the bike?
No.
Is a bicycle covered like under like your insurance?
Homeowners? No. I feel like. Look, I'm not holding the cops to fault. There's a lot of stuff going on in the 7/8, especially now that the Barclays Center is there. I don't want them chasing down the bike. However, if they saw the bike, it'd be nice if they would bring it back.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
All right.
Did it have a license plate on it? Was it registered? With
a little license plate said Jane K. from Disneyland or whatever. It's really going to find that one.
I'll tell you what was in the 7-8 blotter this week.
Please.
The police arrested somebody who allegedly stole 66 pairs of underwear.
Yes. Panties poached is the headline.
I would have gone with panty raid.
Oh, that's good. We can still change it.
Look, that's what I do. I'm editor emeritus.
The paper's coming out on Friday, and it's still Thursday. We have time.
It's funny how they won't put me in the masthead, and I come up with panty raid right there on the spot.
Panty raiders, I would say.
That's even better. Ruth, just as an aside, my favorite blotter headline ever was right around Christmas.
None of your own, I'm assuming.
Of course. This is before we did headline bylines, but... There was a robbery around Christmas time, and our headline was Police Navidad.
Oh, that is good.
And for weeks I was singing Police Navidad.
That must have been just as funny every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it still is.
Ben Music's favorite headline was Cops Take Jerk Off Subway.
Yes, that was good.
It was a guy who had been masturbating on the subway. Yes, yeah. Cops Take Jerk Off Subway.
And here was the reaction of our beloved senior editor, you know, overseer, Joe Robo at the New York Post when that headline ran. No, you cannot say cops take jerk off. He said you couldn't do it.
I do not want to see any dog poop on the cover.
I do not. You know where that line is.
You know where that line is. You don't know. Gersh, you do not know where that line is.
DiMaselli, he knows.
DiMaselli knows. That's why I got him there.
In all seriousness, Ruth, you don't know, but Joe Robo, when he used to run the paper, he would go behind my back and tell Vince, you got to rein in Kuntzman. The guy doesn't know where the line is. I know you know where the line is, but Kuntzman doesn't know.
I know this because he tells me Joe Robo anecdotes at least once a week. So no, I've heard that one.
It's because the guy's a legend.
And what prompted Joe Robo to talk about the whole line thing? Do you remember the exact incident?
I know the incident.
What was the incident, Vince?
I think...
You could go, Ruth. If I told it to you,
I think it was
right.
When you went to a particular condominium building in Dumbo and made a saucy video.
If you can hear the sound of my voice, Google Gersh Kuntzman 25M Apartment Dumbo. You watch that video, and I don't know where the line is. You just watch that video. I don't know where the line... Kuntzman, you are all over... I do not know. That's what Joe Robo said. I was almost fired for that video.
If you watched again, I'm coming around on it. I am coming around on it.
He did have a way of changing his mind. All right, we got to get out. Ruth, stay in the room for a second. I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's near and dear to my heart. Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. Of course, I'm talking about Atlas Steakhouse.
Oh,
Ruth,
man.
We've been there. You can go there. You dine a cut above the rest. Here's why. You select your premium cut. It's aged on site for optimal texture and taste. That's that dry aging process. You enjoy delicious vintage wines. Expertly mixed cocktails. I had a Godfather.
Those are good.
Signature appetizers like crab cakes. But this is the most important thing, Ruth. While you're doing all that, the guy in the back is cooking up that Atlas aged steak for you to perfection. I go medium rare. Mm-hmm. When you're done with that steak, if you got room, I don't usually have room because it's a big steak and a big crab cake and a couple of cocktails. I said one, but I really had two.
There was a couple in there, yeah.
You can get an exquisite signature dessert, and you'll understand when you consume all of that food and all that booze and hospitality, you should include that, you'll understand why Atlas Steakhouse is a cut above the rest. That's Atlas Steakhouse, 943 Coney Island Avenue. Find them online at atlassteak.com.
So, Ruth, I know you have an accent, and I'm guessing that you're from South Africa. That's the only thing I can figure. That's correct?
That is as correct as my birthday is July 27th. Is what it is today? 27th.
I think it's 28th. Yeah. It's the 28th. Yes.
Correct.
It is Thursday.
Ruth, you don't even know your birthday?
That's weird. The fact of the matter is... What was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about your wedding. But you're not British. That's true.
That is correct.
Because if you were British, you know who I would recommend? Dr. Joseph Lichter. Dr. Joseph Lichter. In his office, he has the big book of British smiles.
Does he really?
No, that's from The Simpsons. Oh. All right. But when was the last time you saw a quality dentist who was truly affordable? Listen, if the answer is it's been way too long to remember, then it's time to see Dr. Joseph Lichter. Dr. Lichter's state-of-the-art dentistry is offered at extremely reasonable prices so that almost anyone can afford to get the smile that they deserve. And right now, his prices are even more affordable because listeners of Brooklyn Paper Radio, that is this radio show right here, get special low prices for some of Dr. Lichter's most popular procedures. Invisalign. It's the virtually invisible alternative to metal braces. Usually costs $5,000 or more. At Dr. Joseph Lichter DDS, our listeners here will save more than $1,000. Porcelain veneers, which can go for $1,000 or more at Dr. Lichter's, you'll pay only $675. And get the bright white smile you've always dreamed of, because for a limited time, Dr. Lichter is offering the Zoom teeth whitening procedure for only $395. Call Dr. Lichter's office today at 718-339-7878 to set up an appointment. That's 718-339-7878. And Dr. Lichter, as always and forever, is located at 1420 Avenue P.
That's P for periodontal, Ruth.
Between East 14th and East 15th Streets in Midwood. You can visit them online at josephlichterdds.com.
All right, Ruth, we got to get out. It's been a great show. I don't know if you heard the start of it. We got to get out, though. How are you keeping cool? It's now set. It's going to be 8 days today. How are you keeping cool?
Today, 8 days today on Thursday.
Yeah, 8 days today on Thursday.
Okay.
Ruth, how are you keeping cool?
I'm keeping cool by working extremely long work days at beautiful MetroTech office building, which is always a temperature I like to describe as
amply
arctic.
Cool.
You will note that I'm actually wearing a jacket right now because I am.
Can we show that, Jimmy? Can we show
Jimmy,
the jacket?
You got that?
Yep.
Okay. You see my sweater as well.
Yeah.
But Gersh is in shorts, which is crazy.
I actually don't have pants on at all.
He did not prepare for his visit today.
Much like Dan Rather used to not wear shorts when he was doing the CBS Evening News. No one knew.
Just in his underwear.
Don't have shorts. What's hot? Here's how I'm keeping cool, Ruth. Obviously tonight, open hockey at Chelsea Piers. I'll be there with my boys playing some hockey.
That's right.
Ice hockey or roller hockey?
Ice hockey, Ruth. Ice, mm-hmm. ice
yeah,
hockey.
So that's because he falls down a lot. It keeps him cool.
Mm. I don't fall down a lot. It's just nice. They got to keep that. The room is like 32 degrees.
You wear a lot of equipment, though. A
lot of equipment.
Sounds hot.
No. It's like 30 degrees out there because they don't want the ice to melt.
I don't know what Fahrenheit, so that means nothing.
It means nothing. She's from South Africa.
Well, the room's about -2.
Mm-hmm.
-2.
That's cold. That's approximately the same temperature as this office.
All right. Well, I want to wish Ruth Brown a happy birthday. Ruth, what are you, 30 now?
At least.
Okay, great. Well, you look great. And Vince, I want to wish you.
What?
Anything you want, because you're a handsome man, and you should get whatever you want, because you deserve every bit of it. That's me. Jimmy, that's me being like Mr. Optimist. What is that, like motivational speaking?
I don't ask for much.
You don't?
I really don't.
All you want is a cocktail, and I'm buying you one later.
I would love that.
All right, there we go. We got to get out. For Jimmy, for Ruth Brown, for Vince DiMaselli, I'm Gersh Kunstman of the Daily News, subbing for Gersh Kunstman of the Brooklyn Paper, who used to be awesome. Vince, I love you.
Gersh, it's always a pleasure to be here. And you always ask me what I'm doing tonight. And I just, you know, it's Thursday, and I just can't wait to go home and fire up the barbecue and have a burger.
Well, that sounds great. I'd love to join you.
Well, maybe you should come.
Well, I can't. I'm going to play hockey. But as I said, Ruth, love you. Vince, you're a hunk and a half. Jimmy, you're okay. I'm Gersh Kunstman of the Daily News.
Yeah.
That was like a little Elmer Fudd.
That's Porky Pig. And we'll see you next week from the Brooklyn Paper Building in beautiful downtown Brooklyn, America's downtown. We'll see you next week.
And we'll see you at Murder at the Food Co-op August 13th at the Fringe Festival.
And Brooklyn Paper Radio. Bye-bye.
And the Fringe Festival.